This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to start off with a question from a community member. Oh my gosh, I don't have her name written down here. She was so nice. She was like, I've been listening to all the podcasts in order. Hold on. We're going to find her name. Okay, it's Lindsay. Her name's Lindsay. Okay. Thanks for the question, Lindsay. Sorry that I didn't, where I had noted down your question, I had not noted your name. Lindsay's been listening to the podcasts in order and having so much fun.
Yeah.
Or no, wait, she's just having normal so much fun. Wait, she's learning so much and having S-E-W much fun. There we go.
So much fun.
And Lindsay asks, tips for starting sewing squishy and slithery and stretchy fabrics like bamboo lycra. It's one of my favorites to wear, but my machine will just sew in the first spot until the end of time unless I lift the foot and walk it forward until I can get enough through that I can grab and pull it, assisting the feed dogs. And then she asks for underwear patterns, which we're actually not going to cover here. Sorry, Lindsay. You can only do so much. Okay. But I think you got
look up floozy doozy.
I think you got good answers on that in the group. Pattern recommendations are always so good for the group because, you know, there's like a zillion patterns out there. So
I know. That,
like, I could never know all
I like
of
when
them,
somebody puts
you know?
On up a picture of a like,
and they're like
a ready
what
to wear
pattern would work?
Does anybody know a pattern? And I'm like, nope.
But then someone else in the group
does.
Yeah,
right,
no, it's
right,
always
right.
a miracle. Yeah, we always love that. So anyway, stretchy, slithery, slinky, squishy. I love those adjectives.
And that's kind of what, you know, they that, are.
Yeah, you know, it's totally correct.
I always called it like sewing on sand. It like just goes through your fingers like sand.
Well, I think it's different than sand, though, because
it slithers.
You talk about, I feel like you've always said that sewing on chiffon is sewing, like, through sand, and mm-hmm. I agree with that. But, like, with the knits, you get that 3D sometimes squish factor
yep.
that is different, you know, because right. that's what you, I feel like you always said, like, sewing on chiffon, you know, is like sewing on sand. And with,
well, I think when I'm saying sewing on sand, it's like something that, when you put two pieces of fabric together mm-hmm. and they just slide off of each other.
Right,
you know,
right.
Which bamboo does.
Yeah, the bamboo lycra, which, yes, I also enjoy wearing those.
Right.
Man, it's just the clingiest, slipperiest stuff. it is nice, though. So anyway, starting off on knits, let's, like, first of all, why is this happening? Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about, like, why this is happening. And it won't happen on every machine, but I have had a slinky knit even get caught down in the feed dogs on, like, a pretty nice machine.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is one of those things I think that can happen across levels of machine. You know, even if you have one with a super strong motor or you have one...
Or, and you're using the right needle.
Yeah. You know. So I wanted to talk about that. First of all, do make sure you're using the right needle. Right?
Yes.
Because what can happen, and this may not be exactly what's happening to Lindsay, but if you get a needle that can't go between the fibers easily, it will push the fabric down.
Right.
Right?
That's exactly what you're doing. You're just, it's like you're, you know.
It's like a hammer.
Yeah, it's like you're taking a stuffing fork and stuffing it down in there. I mean, that's
exactly.
Oh,
I love that stuffing. Yeah, it is a stuffing fork. Yeah. Totally. So you're stuffing your machine full of bamboo lycra.
Right.
So you need to find the right needle. And we do have a podcast about the three top needles.
For knits.
For knits. With bamboo lycra, You might be in microtext land.
I might be in microtext land for me. I would start with microtext land. I would.
Yeah. 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 See how it goes. Ballpoint might be a little too.
I don't think ballpoint's going to help you.
Yeah, I think that ballpoint won't help.
I think
help.
It's going to bounce right off the fabric, so to speak.
Or just bring a whole bunch of it down with it, right? You know, but
that's
right?
what I mean. It's sort of just bouncing, right. sending it down there, yeah.
So a stretch needle might work.
Yeah, I
as
think
well,
stretch might work.
But not, I'd steer clear of the bamboo right. and, mm-hmm. or excuse me, of the jersey ballpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think it would be too blunt. I really do.
And you can, as we discussed, like when we were discussing the linen, you know, podcast a few right. times ago, the fiber content doesn't always define how the fabric acts.
No,
it's
it
also
doesn't.
The way it's knitted or woven.
And it's the weight and, you know, it's but, all kinds. And some of them have finishes on them or they've been dyed or printed on, you know, so you don't know.
I think some of that really thin, you know, slinky, tissuey, bamboo lycra, it's like really tightly knitted.
Right.
You know,
it is.
So that you almost want.
That's why I'm thinking microtext
land. Yeah. Versus roll over
right.
the fibers, right? So
it's
yeah.
probably yeah, it's like you said, it's not easy to go between.
Right. The other thing is like why is this happening? Your feed dogs might have trouble gripping that fabric.
Absolutely.
Especially up against like the slick underneath side mm-hmm. of your foot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, at you know, feed dogs not being able to grip that is totally valid.
Right.
Okay. I don't think that, once again, it's happened to me on a $100 machine and on a $10,000 machine.
Right.
Okay. So that can definitely happen. And, you know, since it's so slick, even if your feed dogs do catch it,
right,
maybe they're not able to do their best work.
Right. Well, and I think you need to think about your presser foot here, too.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want something that's open-toed or,
yes,
you do want something that will accommodate a stitch that goes side to side. But, and sometimes in this instance, sometimes a plastic foot.
Yeah, you think it
will like
grip.
Just grab for some a little bit better or something. I don't know what that instead of like two pieces of metal, you know.
Yeah, but I really like you bringing up the not open toed.
Yeah, because
the needle
just,
can bring up the fabric.
Right, that just doesn't
too.
Secure
yeah.
your fabric at all.
Right.
It doesn't. You know, you want you know any. I mean, rule of thumb should be, or rule of sewing should be whatever, is that. You know, using the right presser foot means it holds as much fabric as possible.
Like as much support.
Right. You
from
get
top
as much
and bottom.
Support from top and bottom as possible.
Yeah, because we talk, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So if you do have any, like, flagging, too, it can, you know, prevent
right.
that. And then something that can help your feed dogs perform better in this instance, so if they're having trouble moving things along, is what? Lengthening your stitch.
You can lengthen your
which
stitch.
Which is just what this podcast should be called. It should be called Lengthen Your Stitch.
Well, and she's talking about in the beginning, too. And
yeah.
she may need a leader fabric.
Well, I thought we'd get to that.
Yeah, I thought
we'd get to, like, you know, maybe talk about, like, why it's happening. And then, so why, I'm saying why it's happening, lengthen your stitch, because what if Lindsay is using a 3 or 3.5?
Right.
Well, Lindsay, maybe you want to see how your machine would do on this fabric if you put it up even higher.
And here we go to testing, right? So, you know, and you should be on two pieces of fabric when you're testing,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's what your machine is meant to sew on. You know, I always check it. I always check my knit stitch, whatever, my length and my width and whatever, because like you said, you get the squishy, you know, the billowing or the pillowing of it, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't always test. But if I start and things don't go well within, like, two stitches,
mm-hmm.
I stop.
You stop.
And
I'm
like, oh, this isn't working.
Don't force. Don't think you can stretch it through or pull it through.
Right. Like,
that's not going to help you. In the long run,
stop.
You're going to wind up with a product, right, that you're unhappy with, because you're gonna,
you'll just chew through the fabric
right.
somehow.
You'll chew through it, or you'll take your stretch out that you need, or say, just whatever.
I mean, I remember in my beginning days of sewing, this happening to me more often, and having to take like the throat plate off because I'd mm-hmm. sewn the machine all together right. to the right. fabric somehow.
I mean, literally, you'll open the machine and your fabric will be in your bobbin.
In
hook.
Your bobbin, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll have to like cut down there, you know, right. cut it out. So I guess I want to say, sometimes when I'm being a little bad or I'm rushing and I haven't.
Oh, Mallory gets so bad.
Mallory rushing?
Oh,
what?
Mallory
What's
bad. Mallory bad.
Sometimes if I do that, but like if I notice on my second stitch things are bad, like, whoa, whoa, right. whoa, let's stop. And you know what? I have to be honest, Lindsay. Sometimes it stitches in place twice and I'm like, whoa, stop, needle up, foot up, and I do just move it forward and start sewing.
Well, here's something else, and this you don't, you know, so you've tested and you think you have the right needle and you think you have good thread and all this, is to start on the fabric and back stitch first.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the fabric, back stitch, then to your end, and then see if it'll go forward, because that extra thread
yeah.
not only gives it support, but it's being held together. Yeah,
it's like a tread on a tire too.
It
a little
is.
Bit. So
it is.
It
I mean, you will be surprised
friction.
how that can work.
Yeah,
you won't believe it can work, and then you're like, oh.
No.
I mean, and I'm talking about start like 2-3 stitches in.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let's pause then for a quick break, and let's come back and talk about some solutions like to this issue, like backstitching and leader fabrics and stuff like that. ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. What can you do to prevent this from happening in the first place? Okay, let's start out with what I wouldn't do. First of all, I do not like to temporarily stabilize an entire knit seam.
Absolutely not.
What I mean by that is, so what we'd recommend here, one thing you can do, you take that receipt paper or that tearaway stabilizer or a little bit of printer paper. We are not saying tissue paper.
We don't like tissue paper.
We don't like tissue paper.
Tissue paper falls apart. Fibers go down into the machine.
Kind of like when your knit fabrics go mm-hmm. down into your throat.
So what it does is it just debris accumulates faster.
Yeah.
Okay. We know debris always accumulates.
Right.
But it will accumulate faster because tissue paper is,
it's just
tissuey.
Tissuey, yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like
tissue-y,
this,
squishy.
Kind of like this frickin' fabric that we're talking about, right? They do call them tissue knits, right?
Yes.
Sometimes,
yes.
Right? Okay, so what I would do here is just like a little square, a little rectangle where you can put that under just the start of your seam
mm-hmm.
and then start sewing there. And then once you get going, You should be fine.
You should be fine.
Like, once you get on your straightaway, and you should be allowing yourself some seam allowance. We've got a podcast about that, right? Because you can suck, like, the side of your fabric down into your throat plate if you don't have enough. And, that's true for just about anything, any fabric. But anyway, when people say, oh, put tearaway under, like, the whole length of your seam, I mean, you can, but you're going to be pick and tear away.
Well,
out of your
then you
seam.
Then well, and you know, if you really need that stabilizer in that seam, I question what's going on.
Yeah,
you know, like
the,
I it just you really
the
should
may not be in good working
right,
order.
The
needle,
right.
All that. Yeah. So I don't. If you need it to get started, I wonder how much longer receipt tape will exist.
Well, you'll have it. It's just that it'll be it's the heat.
No, but like, how much longer are they going to make receipt
tape?
I
don't know. There's people that print everything out and want a receipt.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't know. I wonder in stores where they ask you if you want a printed receipt or not, you know, and you get to choose. I wonder what the percentage is.
That's
like
a good question.
Who takes what?
You know, actually, sometimes I don't want to do email because I don't want to type in my email.
Exactly.
So what that means is that I want some company to store my data for convenience purposes.
Right.
Anyway. So anyway.
Right.
Okay. So starting off, that's liter paper.
Right.
I'm a bigger fan of that for this than liter fabric.
The thing about liter paper is you can slip it a little bit under your fabric, right? So it laps over.
Yeah.
You know, and you can start sewing on the paper and or on the paper and the
fabric.
You can do it either way. And, you know, it will tear away really easily. If you start with fabric, you really need to just butt it up against there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be as easy as something that you're, you know, like fabrics you're butting it. Because you're not going to butt up. Okay?
You're not going to butt up a knit. You're going to
butt up like a woven or something.
A couple pieces
okay?
of quilting cotton,
You are not going to butt up the same fabric because you're having trouble with it already.
Yeah, so what you're going to get there with fabric is you are going to get, like, a good start because, oh, my machine's forming a stitch. Yay, you know, those the bobbin thread and the upper thread are interlocked in a lock stitch. Good for it. However, you could still have your, like, you know, needle punching this fabric down into the throat plate problem. So,
you know, another thing that we do, and it does not work on these types of fabrics, is to starch that, you know, right there at that end of the fabric.
You know, I wondered if this was going to come up.
Yep.
Some people, and they say it works for them, so I don't want to, like, bash this too much. They put a gelatin.
Yes.
It's I want to say a rinse, but it's not a rinse because, like, they leave it in there and then they rinse it out.
It's like a stabilizer
and
also.
They're starching it, basically.
Yes, it's basically a starch.
So they are starching it. I don't like to do stuff like that to my knits.
I don't either.
But I know
it's been done.
Yeah, people like it. The reason I don't like to do it to the knits is because I don't want it to dry in a distorted fashion.
Right. Now, I do like using the water-soluble stabilizer.
Oh, like you'll wonder tape your seam or something?
Well, not
or
wonder tape. No, just,
you mean like,
just like embroidery
stabilizer. Oh, I'm
stabilizer.
Sorry. Yeah, like a topping.
Right,
okay,
like
I'm
a
sorry.
Topping.
I was...
And I have, like, actually wrapped it, you know, like, from underneath and went over the
That's
top.
A good
so
idea.
There's a little tab there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't scoot out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I kind of like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, so you take maybe like 2 inches, say,
uh-huh.
and there's an inch on the back, and then you're going to, you know,
yeah, you
fold
put
it up
a tab
and over
on the, there, yeah,
you know, to be on the top.
Yeah.
So in other words, you have enclosed the two raw edges that you're starting from.
You could also kind of combine those, like the leader paper
and
the water soluble with that back stitch.
You do
stitch.
Whatever you have to do.
Well, I was going to say with the back stitch technique.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you know, if you want to be really sure. And, I mean, honestly, this probably would save you more heartache if you
know, you can do that. You can also do the thing where you just have a leader thread. So you, by hand, take a thread and put it through. Do you know what I mean? Or you know, I mean, you know, you take your fabric, you let the needle pierce it once.
Yeah.
You pull your bobbin thread up, and then you cut it, and you've got those two threads, and you take the thread and you pull.
You're guiding your right, fabric through.
You're putting pressure to pull that back, you know, under. Now, I don't like that on a knit.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that.
I mean,
either,
it,
no.
but you know what? It doesn't mean that I wouldn't come up against something where I had to use that.
So I want to say something that might not be super helpful to Lindsay, but that might be informative to people.
Well, she was liking us up till now.
Yeah, right. So yeah. We'll see if this ends.
Yeah.
But this is part of the reason why a serger is very helpful for
right.
knits. Now, the one thing, though, the challenge for these fabrics or any slippy fabric on a serger is that the top layer will get pushed forward.
Or both layers.
You know, but you know,
pushed away.
Well, I'm saying you try to put your two layers under, or if you don't kind of
right.
like lift the toe of the presser foot, sometimes like that can happen.
Right.
But so I'm not saying that like serger land, oh, go just go to a serger
and
everything will
be
fine.
Perfect. No.
But what the sergers do have are those stitch fingers, right?
They have the stitch fingers, they have the you know, feed dogs, the differential feed dogs. There's a lot there.
And
because
no bobbin.
But
you know,
they're made
yeah.
to work with knits.
Yeah.
And the stitch is knitted
right.
for the knitted fabric. But when, you know, it has its issues too, because the slick fabrics also will tend to move away from the knife after
mm-hmm.
it's cut.
Yeah.
So, you know, your stitch is falling off the edge of your fabric. So and that usually is just a hand manipulation
to
keep that going.
That's the serger space-time continuum,
right.
if anybody
right.
remembers
that's
that.
That's right. Well, if she's listening to all of these.
That's right. If she's listening to them all in order.
She's telling the truth.
So anyway, yeah, you're... So some of this issue is solved by the structure of, you know, an overlocker machine.
Yes.
But some of it is, then you can have other issues, you know,
right.
When you go to the serger. So I would say, I just do want to reiterate that lengthening your stitch is important. I've seen this on some of the lower end machines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, you know, you did get the $99 machine. And that's fine, but I've seen people in that class I used to teach called How to Use Your Sewing Machine. We had to go up to the four, the
right.
five.
Wait.
We had to go up to the four or the five length, and then the resulting stitch is not
right.
four or five.
That's exactly
okay?
what I
like,
was going to say.
Well, thank you
right,
for
right.
teaching me
yeah.
that.
So the
but,
four or five may wind up being a 2.5 or a 3.
Right.
So if you're trying to stitch with a 2 or a 2.5, it winds up being
a zero.
So that's
yeah.
why you're in one spot.
So
right.
this is another reason why, like, when you get to know your machine, you can't – because I've noticed this on different machines. I'm like, well, this machine, I'm okay to go up to just a 3. And this machine, I'm going
right.
to go to a 4, you know. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you take out your little ruler and you measure the millimeters between stitches, you might find a disconnect
right.
between the actual setting and your result on a knit.
Right.
Then, if you go to a woven and you do the 5 millimeter length, you might be like, whoa, that's like really long.
Yeah, that's long. I'm not going to hold anything together.
Right, because the nature of the fabric, it's,
right.
you know, allowing the feed dogs to do a better job. So, yeah, just like keep that in mind. I do not measure. I, you know, but I'm just saying. Like,
well,
that,
and I mean,
that will happen.
One thing I would like to add here is, anytime, you know, every piece of fabric will have a uniqueness about
yeah.
it. Like, especially if you're not used to sewing lots of fabrics, or you're new at this or whatever. You know, there's people have been sewing for years and they've been quilting. So they're, you know, they only are used to, you know, addressing a quilting cotton. And so then they get this other piece of fabric that seems so foreign. And, you know, we also have people now that have sewn only on knits.
That
and they're like, how do I go to a woven? It's really funny because
yeah.
that's sort of a new phenomenon.
We don't have, you know, actual stats on that, but it
right.
seems to be with knits being so much more common, and then that being what
it's
people want to wear.
What people are
you know?
Wearing, and it's what they're also manufacturing.
And then
yes.
this new generation of stitchers who have easy access to knits
right.
are like, well, hell, I'm buying a knit. Do you remember? Oh, my gosh. It was
trying
terrible.
To get a knit.
We
yeah.
we wanted to just teach this class on the serger. We
right.
did a freaking lettuce edge on the edge of some knit. And we have a lot of fabric, but we didn't want to, like, give up all our nice knit that we can't ever find anywhere, you know, to making samples in the shop. And, like, finally we found some at the Joann's. And then online fabric shopping became more and more.
Well, and it was kind of funny because knits have almost always been an online thing or an order thing. Mm-hmm. You know, knits were never in the, like, knits did not start out being in the fabric store.
Well,
seemed like.
You know,
not where we live, anyway.
Yeah, right. And we are pretty far away from, like, the coast, yeah. You know.
Or Chicago, right. You know, where Vogue is or whatever.
Well, is Vogue even there anymore?
I don't know.
Is that still there?
I would assume that they're online, too.
I'm, like, remembering somebody closing, but maybe it's not them. Anyway, anywho, yeah, so there are people now, you're right, who are like, ew, a woven.
Yeah, they're like, what do I do?
Or maybe they're like, I'm not going to fit a woven. See,
right.
That's funny.
The other thing, too.
Yeah.
It's generally easier to fit. Yes.
That's kind of funny because we would run into the thing where, like, someone was a quilter and they were like, well, I'm not going to make clothes because, like, fitting is so
right.
complex.
They don't want to fit. I don't want to fit myself is usually what they say.
And then knits come around and they're easier, you know, and then people are like, oh, well, I'm not going to make a woven top, you know.
Wasn't it Janet that, like, we just totally converted?
She did. She took your t-shirt class, and then she was like, hi, I've made 20 t-shirts in the past week.
And
I made
this one has this sleeve, and this one has this neckline, and this, and I mean, she went out, she's like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me, which is always fun when you teach a class, and somebody comes, out of
always,
it like that.
Always very rewarding, when someone is successful. So anyway, okay, we were talking about ways to, like, prevent this happening.
I think we may have.
Oh, I guess I'll bring up another thing. Presser foot pressure, because everybody always brings this up.
Yeah.
This can get dicey.
Be careful, guys. When you put that presser foot pressure down on that knit, you're spreading it out.
I've seen people say to maybe lessen it, though, too.
Yes.
And so.
And that might be true.
All I want to say is, get to know that dial. This is so different on every machine, and it's not available on every machine.
And it's not
either.
On every machine,
but
usually it's on the side of your machine.
I've
or
seen
on
them
the
on the top, and then sometimes
and like right in like the needle.
Sometimes it's electronic,
you know,
though,
above
too.
The needle. Yes, it can be electronic.
You know,
too.
So
but yeah.
Okay, I have seen actually on the older Baby Lock Sergers, and I think maybe even on some models that are out right now. There isn't, like, a gauge, which is so silly.
Yeah.
So it's like you adjust it, and you may not know where you were before.
Right.
So just get to know your machine a little bit. It could work. That's not the first thing, though, that I have guided people toward success without doing that. Mostly stitch length.
I would say it's one of the last things. And please be careful.
Don't mess with your tension.
Don't mess with your tension. You don't need to.
Hey, it is minute, like, going to be, like, 26 or 27, and have we even talked about tension yet?
No.
No, we have not.
Do not. If you want to mess with tension, you can mess with your top tension. You cannot mess with your bobbin tension.
If your tension
Please don't.
If your tension is fine on a woven.
It should be fine.
And then you're going to a knit to just seam it together. And seaming a knit together is generally done with some kind of, like, offset longer stitch. I know that the triple straight stitch is a thing that I don't like. But we have the podcast, too, about why your stitches won't look as nice.
That's right.
On the knits. Okay, but it's not like your fabric's getting sucked down to the bottom because of your tension.
No.
You know, that's not
that is
what's
not
going
why.
On. Yeah.
That is not why.
Don't immediately go to that. So the
and
name of
I don't
podcast
know why
should...
so many people immediately go, check your tension. No, if you've got a decent machine that's in working order, the tension just shouldn't have to be switched for a simple garment construction.
Yeah, not for just like going, you know, two layers of knit.
Right.
You know, the other problems you're encountering are needle type, or stitch length, stabilizing the fabric.
And, you know, I want to stress quality thread here, too, especially if you're on a knit, because the reason you're on a knit is it stretches and you want it to stretch for some reason and you like it and you like that quality about that fabric. So that seam will be stretched. It will be stressed in that way that it will be stressed when you're putting it on or wearing it or whatever, when you're bending over, whatever you're doing, if you're doing yoga or if you're sitting in your seat, you know, car seat driving. And if you have lousy thread, it will pop.
Yeah, yeah. You want something that's durable. The right thread and the right stitch, you know. And we like, if you're on your sewing machine, Lindsay, we like the Mettler Metrazine personally. So
yes,
that's what we go with. But a few people in the group, they were having a discussion about different threads that they enjoyed. And so, they're, you know, depending on what's available in your area, get that. Okay, so we hope that that helps with the issue of a knit fabric kind of getting sucked down into the feed dogs when you start. I have an idea to continue on this, like, as a series. Like, what are things that make your machine stop going?
Stop going, stop sewing.
Maybe well, we should
I
ask
think I
in the group.
I want to mention one more thing.
Oh, sure.
When you're handling fabrics like this, mm-hmm. your hands, okay, if your hands are dry, like winter dry, you know, chapped dry, well, I'm talking about dry skin, they will be harder to hold on to.
Yeah.
So you need to moisturize your hand. Now, I don't want you to, like, moisturize your hands and then touch your fabric right away or anything. But what I'm saying is it will really make a difference.
I mean, yeah, prophylactic moisturizing right. of the hands right. is important.
So, oh, you know, wash your hands before you go to bed and put some lotion on them or
you,
whatever.
You were talking about your hands and stuff. Another thing, Lindsay, which you're probably already doing, is make sure your project isn't weighing down
right.
the
support
point.
Support your fabric.
Where you're trying.
Right.
Yeah, support your fabric. Support
your
project.
Support your local fabric.
Yeah, support the fabric that's on your sewing machine. But yeah, I'm interested to maybe I'll put out a thing in the group about, you know, what situations do you come up against where your machine just, like, stops or you're, you know,
right.
is it a big hump? Is it when you're going through gathers? Is it, you know, what is it that makes your machine stop? Because there are things that happen. So I'll put that out in the group. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We hope this helps. I think this is a really common problem with a couple pretty simple solutions
yeah.
to try. You
and,
know?
And, you know,
not
I guess
crazy.
I would say try not to be frustrated or get frustrated. There's probably a solution. Just, you know, sort of methodically go through it. And it, you know, it doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing. It doesn't mean you're not, you know,
oh,
going
no,
to
this
accomplish
happens to
this.
Everyone. Yeah,
all
about.
These little problems happen.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Even to people who are really experienced. Because you can
exactly.
come up against a weirdo fabric and you're trying to do something. Even if you've done it before, you haven't done
well,
it with this fabric.
Well, and the
fabric,
thing is there's
or...
so many fabrics.
Right.
There's just so many fabrics.
Right, right.
When I started sewing, there were like three kinds of fabric. You know, there was like wool and cotton. And then there was the infamous, you know, polyester of the 60s, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, that was about it. Linen, all the things, silk. So there were mostly natural
fibers. Yeah.
And they were nice to sew.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them were very, well, very nice to sew.
Lindsay said in this post that she just listened to the linen episode,
mm-hmm.
and she had been hoarding it, you know,
yeah.
so she was ready to sew with it.
Well, I've been kind of wondering if I should be making some linen pillowcases ever since
I've
about that. And I actually looked to see if I still had mine someplace, and I actually do have two.
I've been thinking about a couple things like that, too. Okay, well, ZD, thanks for recording this podcast with me.
Well,
I don't normally
you're
think
welcome. You're,
yeah, yeah. That's maybe I should include that in every one of them now.
Okay.
Okay, take
so
it away.
Long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.